Bibles in your hands and open it up to 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'll read verse 1 until we get to verse 18. You will join me one verse after one verse, just the way we normally do it here. Let me at this point welcome those who are watching with us by way of television, or you'll be watching through video. This is a broadcast from Harvest House International Church. It is a church where we committed to raising a people of total success. Tonight, what you're about to listen to, we trust God that it will revolutionize your life. It will impact you in no small way. Renew your mind and transform your life. We trust very strongly that the Spirit of God will reach you through the screens and bring about a major change in your life. This will be a message that will bring deliverance to you in Jesus' mighty name. I'd like the Harvest House members to welcome you, especially with a clap offering. 2 Samuel chapter 22 in verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 22 in verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him. In the day that the Lord had delivered him. In the day that the Lord had delivered him. For Jehovah sees, Jehovah provides. And when Jehovah provides, Jehovah will be seen. And so on the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul in particular, verse 2, everybody. And he said, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. And the Lord is my deliverer. Verse 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower, my refuge, Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Verse 4, everybody. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Verse 6, everybody. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Verse 7, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple. And my cry did enter into his ears. Verse 8, everyone. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of heaven moved and shook. Because he was wroth. Verse 9. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Verse 10. He bowed the heavens for my sake also, and he came down for my sake. Darkness was under his feet. Verse 11. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. Verse 12. And he made darkness pavilions round about him. Dark waters and thick clouds of skies. Verse 13. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. Verse 14. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Verse 15. And he sent out arrows. He will be sending them out tonight. I said he will be sending them out tonight. I'm about to introduce you to weapons of warfare that you don't even know about. It is not only the name of Jesus that you use in warfare. In fact, that is the name you should use when some other weapons are failed. You use bullets when you fight as a military person. You use bullets. Sometimes before they use real bullets, they use rubber bullets to see if the enemies will back out. Is that okay, sir? When they use rubber bullets, you don't back out. Then they will introduce metal bullets. And some of the bullets can only penetrate somebody's skin and not too deep. But there are some kinds of bullets I will love a military man if I have a way to tell me more. There are some metal piercing bullets. Am I talking to somebody here? Bullets that can pierce armored cars and tear through metals. And in essence, if a human being is there, it can tear through about three, four of you lined up together. I'm talking about sophistications of weapons. Sophistications of weaponries. Amen to Jesus Christ. And there are grenades and there are bombs. Is that okay? In the world of bombs, there are different dimensions of bombs. There are cluster bombs. Is that okay now? And there are bombs that when you throw out, they can waste a whole community. And then you move on to what they call the ICBMs, what we call the intercontinental ballistic missiles. Is that okay? These are not missiles reserved for just you and I. It's a waste of time to use an ICBM on you because you are just a person. This is reserved for continents. Is that okay now? One missile sent to a continent and it can wipe out a whole continent. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? We go beyond ICBMs and then we have nuclear missiles. We have nuclear bombs. I'm talking about bombs that can come and waste human beings and cause your flesh to deteriorate. Touch your neighbor, say, God has got much more. Yes. So we have nuclear missiles and all kinds of missiles in this world. Is that okay? So it depends on the nature of the battle. Then that determines the revelation of the weapons that you use. The Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. Is that okay now? So it's not everything that needs the name of Jesus, because we do understand that the Bible says that some seven sons of Sceva came and they were trying to cast out some devils, and the Bible says the demons cried out and they said, Paul, we know that you don't even need to bring Jesus in here because we know Paul. If Paul is showing up, we check out. Is that okay now? Because Paul alone is more than enough. And that's why a man by the name A.A. Allen, when he was confronted with a deliverance case that his men were trying to cast out from a girl, a demon, and they were not able to, A.A. Allen simply called the girl and he said, can I just whisper to your ears? And he said, my name is A.A. Allen. And the demon checked out of the girl, because there's no need to use my father's name, because that name is not reserved for demons like you. Am I talking to somebody here? Help me touch your neighbor and say to the person, demons are not as strong as you think. Yeah, so it's important for you to understand that we are moving into a dimension of warfare whereby we need to start understanding the different weapons that are available to us. I learned very early in my Christian walk with God. I hope my first pastor in secondary school will be here on Sunday. He taught us how to use the smoke of God. And I saw how that we will go for ministration, and the moment we begin to say the smoke of God, because the Bible says smoke were coming out from his nostrils. And the moment we begin to say the smoke of God, we see how demons are checking out from people, because the smoke of God will choke them up. There's no breathing place where smoke is at work. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? When we begin to say things like the fire of God, we see things happening. The moment we begin to say the hailstones of God, we begin to see things happening. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? The thunder of God. These are all weapons. The Bible said that God has kept in his treasuries and have been reserved for this last days. And so the Bible says in this particular scripture here that as I began to call upon the name of my God was wroth. And in verse 9, there went out smoke from his nostrils, fire from his mouth. He bowed the heavens and it came down. Darkness was upon underneath his feet. And the Bible said there was lightnings. There were arrows sent. Verse 15, and he sent out arrows. Somebody say arrows. Say it again, say arrows. Not arrow. He sent out arrows. And the arrows did what, sir? Scattered them. Lightning did what, sir? Discomfited them. So every time you say the arrows of God, you are scattering some people. Every time you declare the lightning of God, you are discomfiting some people. Verse 16. Everybody, let's read it together. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundation of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostril. Verse 17, he sent from above, he took me and he drew me out of many waters. Verse 18, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Hallelujah. My emphasis today is verse 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, and the Lord is my deliverer. Father, we pray for the blessing on your word tonight. As I introduce you to your people today, I pray that you will indeed reveal your power to them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'd like you to please let me look at your neighbor and say to the person, the Lord is my deliverer. Say it again. Say, the Lord is my deliverer. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I've been speaking to you on the God of supernatural turnaround, and I've introduced him to you as the El Elyon. I've introduced him to you as El Shaddai. I've introduced him to you as Jehovah Jireh. Were you blessed yes tonight? You need to keep those messages with you. It will help you for a long time. Tonight, I want to introduce him to you as the Lord, my deliverer. Say with me, the Lord, my deliverer. The word the Lord there is the word Jehovah. Anytime you hear the word Lord, it speaks of you hear the word Jehovah, it speaks of the word the Lord. Is that okay? So when the Bible says the Lord is my deliverer, what it was saying is that Jehovah is my deliverer. But you see, in the Hebrew, the word my deliverer personified is the Hebrew word mephalti. Jehovah Mephalti. I will spell that for you so you don't miss it out. M-E-P-H-A-L-T-I. M-E-P-H-A-L-T-I. I hope if they can broadcast that for you, that will help you. Jehovah Mephalti. Say it with me, Jehovah Mephalti. Say like you know he's your deliverer. Say Jehovah Mephalti. Yeah, so when he said, the Lord is my deliverer, personal, the Lord is my own deliverer, he was saying, he is my Jehovah Mephalti. That was what he was talking about. And so I would like to start from that premise and let you know that the God that we serve, that God is the greatest deliverer that you can ever, ever run to on earth. For years after David's victory over Goliath, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, David had victory over Goliath. And the Bible made us to understand 1 Samuel 17, 18. The Bible says when the women began to sing about the victory that came through the hand of David, the Bible says that the women sang and they said, David has killed 10,000 and Saul has killed 1,000. As a result of that, Saul became enraged, and as a result of jealousy, Saul opened the door for demonic invasion into his life. Be careful, jealousy may take you to a place that you may never recover from. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Learn to celebrate when God is blessing someone around you. Because the blessing of God on someone around you is a prophecy that God still has you in mind. And nobody's lifting around you is at your own expense. What he has done for one, he will do for another. For he is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forevermore. Please let me touch your neighbor and say, my God will help you too. Come on, say like you mean to say, my God will help you too. And so we see that Saul was consumed with the desire to kill David because of the lifting of God in the life of David. However, with all the plots of Saul throwing javelins at David, trying to pin him to the wall, trying to kill him, God did not allow David to die in the hand of Saul. One day we got to realize that David began to run not only from the palace but into the bush. From that time, David began to live in caves because the battle became so fierce. And not only did David begin to stay in the cave away from Saul, the Bible says Saul also left the palace and began to run after David in the cave. I will hunt you down anywhere. It was like the hunting down of Osama bin Laden by the U.S. government. George Bush said, we will smoke him out of the hole. The point is, we will find him wherever he is and we will kill him. In the same light, we also realize that Saul was all out to wipe out, to exterminate this man called David. Because the presence of David was the reason why joy eludes this man called Saul. He just cannot be happy because of the presence of David. The Bible makes us to understand that it was in the course of all of us that one day David began to pray that the Lord will come to his rescue. David began to pray that the Lord will come to help him. Because you see, if you look at it carefully, David recognized that he can't fight Saul because Saul has got the whole army of Israel behind him. That was why he said, this one is not an enemy that I can deal with. I fought Goliath, you see. I dealt with Goliath. But the person I'm talking about here is an enemy that is too strong for me. I don't have enough weapons to match up with the kind of weapons he has. His strength far outnumbers my own strength. His armies far outnumbers the men that I have as my mighty men. So David recognizes the gap in between himself and Saul. He realizes that this is not something for me to fight. On one occasion, it seems David came so close to dealing with Saul, but of course God will not allow him. So not only was he under embargo by the Almighty God not to touch Saul, he didn't have enough capacity to overcome Saul. Please let me touch your neighbor. Say, God will intervene. Say like a minister, say, God will intervene. And so David began to pray that the Lord will deliver him from this enemy that is mightier than him. I want to ask today, by any means, if possible, I want to ask you, do you have an enemy, something you're contending with, but is mightier than you do? Are you dealing with a situation in your life that you've not been able to overcome? Saul is a reminder to every one of us that even though we may be the anointed of the Lord, like David was the anointed of the Lord, we come to realize sometimes that the anointed of the Lord may be faced with a Saul that is too mighty for him. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God here? You may be a child of God, but if you will look deeply, you will realize that there's a Saul, something too mighty, something more mightier than you are, something bigger than your ability to overcome. I know you are called like David was called. I know you're anointed like David was anointed by God. I know God has a plan for your life like God has a plan for David's life. I know you have an assignment just like David has got an assignment. But you and I also know that there are some souls that are assigned to some people who carry assignment. I'm taking a little bit closer. Amen. So it's important for you to realize that being blessed does not exonerate you from that kind of predicament, because we see that in the word of God. But David kept on praying, oh Lord, make haste to deliver me. Make haste to deliver me from the hand of those wicked enemies that I have. And the Bible says later that the house of David began to wax strong and the house of Saul began to wax weaker. Am I talking to somebody here? Now watch this carefully. Sometimes the enemy that God has identified in your life may not be removed at once. Yes, sometimes he will be weakened over time. Am I talking to anybody here? It may be weakened over time. For the Bible says, and the house of Saul began to wax weaker and the house of David began to wax stronger until eventually the house of Saul was wiped out. And somebody's here under the sound of my voice that will experience such a deliverance from the mighty hand of the Almighty God. Can I get a good amen in the house of God? Say with me, the Lord is my deliverer. Say like your minister, say, the Lord is my deliverer. Or if you're excited about that, you will say it again. Say, the Lord is my deliverer. He is my Jehovah Melfalti. That is the God that I serve, and I'm excited about him. If I think of how I've come this far, I can tell you categorically clear, sir, that in accordance with the scripture in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 9 to verse 10, it said, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God, which raised the dead. Verse 10, who delivers us from so a great death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He delivered us, past tense. He doth deliver us, present tense, and will yet deliver us, future tense. Ain't you excited that you have a God who's got your past, your present, and your future covered? Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? That's why I'm not bothered about the battles that will ever come in life. It's not my matter of interest to concern myself with the battles that will come my way. My greatest interest and persuasion is to be comprehended by him that has apprehended me. That is why that I may know him is my slogan for the moment. I was just talking to my pastors in the office. I said my motto for 2014 is to know him and to make him known. That's all I live for in 2014. Because if I focus on knowing him, if I focus on apprehending and comprehending him who has apprehended me, then it is very obvious that I cannot have Jehovah Mephalti and not have the case of deliverance from the past, the present, and the future sorted out. Every devil planning against my future can go ahead and plan as much as he can, because the future is predictable as far as I'm concerned. It is in vain that you are setting a trap in the sight of a bird, because it is in vain that you're setting a trap against a man that God has his future sorted out already. My future is fixed because of Jehovah Mephalti. He will not only deliver me from the past, not only does he deliver me in the present, my God is sorted out my future. Can somebody shout a big amen in the house of God? Yes, we serve a God who doesn't just deliver us from the past, not just from yesterday. He doesn't deliver me today, going through the paths of life, trying to go through life camping. Here was this trailer, Tipa, come pounce on my car. Jehovah Mephalti, not only did he deliver me from sin, he stepped out on the scene, and on the day that I should have been dead and forgotten, he doth deliver me. If there are other plans like that by the enemy in the future, it is also predictable what the future will look like, or what the outcome will be. And so for me, the fear of tomorrow has been completely lost in the knowledge of the one who controls my future. For in him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. I have no care about tomorrow, because he that holds tomorrow is the one that I serve. He spans the universe by the power of his words. Every day of my life has been numbered before him. The Bible says in the book of Job that he has performed the things that he has written concerning me, and many of such things are still with him. Get rid of fear. Your tomorrow is settled. Get rid of fear, because tomorrow is fixed in your God. Tomorrow is a day that will come to pass, but there is a God who never changes. He is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forevermore. Can somebody shout, the Lord is my deliverer? And say like a minute, say, the Lord is my deliverer. Yes, he delivers in three ways. He delivers from the past, he delivers in the present, and he delivers in the future. He delivers at three levels. He delivers at an individual level, like delivering Daniel from the lion's den. What I'm saying is that this almighty Jehovah Mephalti, the Lord my deliverer, can also come into your lion's den, come into the midst of the place where the lions of this life are about to devour you. And about makes us understand that he came into the lion's den and delivered Daniel from the mouth of the lion. So Jehovah Mephalti delivers in three dimensions. One, he delivers at a personal level, at an individual level. Are you going through a struggle that nobody knows about? Jehovah God can deliver you as an individual. Help me touch your neighbor and say, God can deliver you. Yes, not only does he deliver at an individual level, our God also delivers at the family level. He delivers at the family level. He can deliver your family. He can deliver your mother's children. He can break the yoke over your family. He can deliver you from the witch that has cast a spell on your mother's children. He can deliver you from the juju, the voodoo man, who has said your mother's children will never amount to anything. He can deliver your entire family. family. His power is not restricted. His ability is not restrained. There is no wall that our God cannot break. In actual fact, he doesn't need to break like we break through, because all he needs to do is to walk and walk through. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Ladies and gentlemen, remember in the scripture that when Jesus rose again, the Bible said the disciples were within the walls of a house confined with the doors all locked up. When it was time for my Savior to show up, the doors were not open, but he was found inside. He is not a God that is restrained by walls. He can penetrate anything. He can go through anything without breaking through any of them. For he rose again without waiting for the door to be open. He came out of the grave without any restriction. Shout, Jehovah is my deliverer. Say like a minister, Jehovah is my deliverer. Yes, he delivers at three dimensions, three levels. He can deliver you at a personal level. He can deliver your family, like he delivered the family of Abraham from the land of Aaron, the land of all the Chaldeans. He was able to deliver that family. Hallelujah. I'm so excited that the God that I serve is a God who is concerned about families. 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 God is not just interested in you alone coming out. God is interested in the entire family coming out. Your mother's children and coming out. What is the joy that you are the only one that is blessed and your mother's children are still suffering and shame? I come in the name of the Son of a living God, and I declare concerning you and myself that everyone associated with us is coming out of every bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen if you have family members? Yes, our God delivers families, entire families. That was why in the land of Egypt, my pastor, when he was talking to them about sacrificing the Paschal lamb, when he was talking to them about taking the lamb and then cutting the lamb and then putting the blood on the doorposts and the lintels of their house, he spoke at three different levels. He said, put the blood on the doorposts of your house in case you are single. And then he said, this blood that can save you. He said, if you are a family, put the blood on the doorposts of your house, for the blood can also save the family. And if you put it all over the families of the children of Israel, that will be the whole nation being set free. Jehovah Mephalti delivers at national level. He can deliver this nation called Nigeria. The Bible says, can a nation be born in a day? The truth of the matter is, with God, all things are possible. My God will set this nation free. My God will deliver this nation. Jehovah Mephati will deliver us as a nation in the name of Jesus. He delivered Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. He delivered Israel from the land of Babylon. My God can deliver an entire nation. Somebody shall deliver us. Give me a few minutes as I try to touch a few things and see how we can close. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 12 to 13 defines for us what deliverance is. The Bible says in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of who? His dear Son, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In essence, deliverance is a supernatural act of destroying and releasing somebody from under the authority, the control, the bondage, and the influence of sin and Satan. I'll say that again. Deliverance is a supernatural act of destroying in order to release an individual, a family, or a nation from under the authority, the bondage, the control, and the influence of sin and Satan. And please, as I use the word Satan here, it's a word used with a broad perspective. When I use the word Satan, I use it as an umbrella name For demons, demonic spirits, principalities, powers, I'm talking about rulers of the darkness of this world. I'm talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm also talking about agents of darkness functioning in human bodies. So when we're talking about deliverance, we're talking about the supernatural intervention of God in the life of a man, a family, or a nation that results in the destruction of the authority. Please note, destruction of the authority, the bondage, whatever has been used to create the bondage, because it cannot be deliverance, release. Let me make it this way so you can get it. Deliverance is twofold. There are two sides to every complete deliverance. One, it must be the destruction of the existing authority, control, and influence. And the second is to enforce the release of the person who was hitherto under the authority, control, and influence of such a person. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's one thing to break the chains. It's another thing for Paul to come out. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? It's one thing to break the chains. It's another thing for Paul to come out. Deliverance is a two-edged thing. One, destroy the chains. That's why in Isaiah chapter 58, the Bible says, this is not the fast that I have chosen. It said to break the yoke, to destroy the bonds, break the bonds of wickedness, and let the oppressed do what's up. Go. In essence, the reason why perhaps your deliverance has not been complete, it's because you have been seeking release without destroying what kept you in bondage. The first dimension to deliverance is warfare. The second dimension is peace. In essence, you can't enjoy peace until you have engaged in war against the authorities, the powers, the influence, the control that have been over your life. Say with me, destroy. Come on, say like a minister, say destroy. Hallelujah. The Bible makes us understand in Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, I have called you, he said, to destroy, to pull down, to tear down, to overthrow. And then it was after that, he now said, you can now build and you can plant. Is that okay? So there can be no release until there is a total destruction of the authority, the power, the influence, the control that has been at work. Tonight, whatever the authority is that has been at work, we are here at war against them. And let me announce to you that the war we are here to fight is not the one that we are to determine whether we will win. We are here to fight a war to enforce the victory that has been gotten on our behalf. The Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of them openly. So we are here to enforce that victory. Somebody say, I'm coming out. You're not saying it like a man. Say, I'm coming out. So deliverance is twofold. There must be the destruction of whatever authority has been in place and whatever control has been in place. And we're talking about the authority, the control, the influence of principalities and powers. We're talking about the authority and the influence of witches and wizards and diviners and sorcerers and soothsayers. And we're talking about those who involve in telepathy, precognition, those who involve themselves in mediums and in seances, in pendulum, and all kinds of wickedness. Africa is something you can't even imagine. People sit under the tree and invoke people to appear in a place and make projections on them. Whosoever it is that have been exerting a spiritual influence on your life, your mother's children, on your husband, on your wife, on your kids, how that you raise them in church, but you are shocked to see the kind of madness they are getting themselves involved in. How that your life that was once organized, look at the things that you are doing now. The Bible says, is there not a cause? You think this is normal? You are speaking English and calling it weakness and calling it, well, it is a weakness of the character of my child or my husband. That
devil and his grandmother all a liar. We call it what it is. That is demonic activity. That is witchcraft at work. That is sorcery at work. And we come in the name of the one that is above them all. We command the powers of darkness, the power base of Satan, to be destroyed in the service as I speak in the name of Jesus. We're destroying power base tonight. Don't mind me, I love warfare. Amen. I like watching warfare. And Pastor, one of the things that I've learned about warfare is that anytime somebody has been caught as a prisoner of war, they will send what they call Navy SEALs, or they will send the Marines. Is that okay? They will send them into that nation. Listen, they call it extraction. Is that okay? Extraction. I like it. Extraction. I'm about to share something with you. Extraction is what they call it, sir. And in extractions, what they normally will do is that you remain in the prison that the enemies have kept you. You are not to do anything. Is that okay? We have been sent by your government. Your government sent us. Your government armed us. Your government anointed us. Your government empowered us. Is that okay? Your job is to just maintain your position. Is that okay? Don't give up your nationality. Because if we arrive to deliver you and get to discover that you have given your nationality up, and you have decided not to be called one of us, then our help will be useless. Make sure that in the midst of the prison and the punishment, still keep saying Jesus is Lord. Am I talking to somebody here? With all the pains you are going through, don't give up your Savior. With all the challenges going on, don't give up your identity. Stay in the prison. Just hold on. Help is coming. Deliverance is coming. Jehovah Mephalti is coming. You see, Jehovah Mephalti is always summoned when Jehovah Jireh sees. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Whenever the department called Jehovah Jireh sees and there's a need for deliverance, not a need for supply, what Jehovah Jireh does is to inform Jehovah Mephalti that there is a need for some special guys, some Marines, some deadly people. These ones don't come to preach. They don't come to speak English. They come to deliver the captives. They come to engage in warfare. They come with the technicalities of heaven. They speak languages you may not be used to, because every time the Marines come, they use weapons you have never seen in the regular army. They come with Kalashin. They don't come with Kalashin cockers that you normally see with normal military people. They come with some special weapons. Sometimes some silencers. Weapons that when they are walking, you will not hear any sound. They come with some kinds of deadly materials that you normally don't see with an average military person, because it's a special assignment. It requires some special weapons. Am I talking to somebody here? You don't have the weapon. You need the deliverance. And so your government has sent some people. Pastor Isaiah has been sent. Pastor Sunday has been sent. Pastor John has been sent. I have come from the very presence of God. My assignment tonight is not to come and romance with what is messing you up. I came to serve them an eviction notice. I came to tell the devil and his grandmother that their time is up. Can I have an amen in the house of God? Oh yes, so we are here for a serious business. Amen. Armed with the weapon of righteousness. This is not the time to teach you about Jesus' second coming. If you're in the prison, you don't need a lecture about the second coming of Jesus. If you're in the prison, you don't need a teaching about eschatology. If you're in the prison, we don't need to start teaching you about baptism. Somebody shout freedom. Somebody shout deliverance. Somebody says, set me free. Shout it like a minister, says, set me free. So we have come like the Marines of God. We have come like the Navy SEALs of God. We are here on a special mission tonight. And our mission is codified. The simple name for our mission is extraction. We are here to get you out. But before we get you out, we have some blowing up to do. Some satanic base have to be attacked. We need to blow down all their armories. We need to tear down all their power base. Because because we don't want to extract you and see them following us. We need to wipe them out to get you out. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Every witch behind your case, every witch behind your mother's children's case, I stand in the place of prayer today and I curse them in the name of Jesus. Some of you are sounding as sympathetic prisoners who are concerned about the welfare of your captors. I don't know if there's anybody here who is excited with the one that has kept you in prison. But for me and my household, the Lord rebuke every devil and his mother and his agents who have been messing up with our family, because a time for release has come. And in order for there to be released, the power base of Pharaoh has to be confronted. The Bible said they destroyed the waters. Pharaoh destroyed the waters of Egypt. Pharaoh could have come and just carry Israel out of Egypt. But Pharaoh, Moses understands. Moses could have come and picked them out of Egypt. But Moses understands that deliverance is not complete until destruction is in place. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? So he confronted the waters. He confronted the air. He confronted the moon. He confronted the sun. Destroyed all their power installation. When everything shut down in Egypt, he said, now, people of God, it's time for you to walk out. You didn't fight. You just need to walk out. Somebody did the fighting for you. God anointed somebody for you. God anointed the Moses for you. But if you're going to be free, you've got to learn to trust in the grace of God on Moses' life. If Moses is walking, you cannot be outside. You've got to put your faith in God and in the prophet that he has sent to you. You cannot be free by the ministry of a man you don't believe in. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? What do you think will have happened on the night when Moses gave them that instruction? What if they don't trust in his grace? They will have gone out and they will have died. But they believe in God and they believe in his prophet. And God bore them on eagle's wings. Shout, the Lord is my deliverer. I got a few minutes and I don't know how to really rush it through, but I'm going to start praying for you. Hey, hallelujah. And so the Bible makes us understand that the God that we serve is a God who delivers. He's a God who can set you free. Break the bondage, break the destruction, break the yoke, whatever it is, and then enforce your release. I don't know where it took place. I don't know who sold you out. They said it was when you were sick, when you were very small. And so they took you to that Baba because your mother and your father actually, in genuine faith, they wanted to help you. And they took you to a place where the problem was solved, but your life was mortgaged. They made some little marks on your body. Little marks on your chest, on your body, on your back, and all kinds of stuff. They've given you some things to drink, some things to eat. You've gone to a spiritualist and he gave you some things to drink, some things to eat. In the name of trying to solve your problem, not knowing that on the day you did that, you opened the door. You open the gate for demonic infestations into your life. The devil is a liar. Tonight, there is liberty in the house of God. If you are here in the house of God and you are always having persistent convulsion, you need deliverance in the house of God. If you are under the sound of my voice and you find it difficult to be able to resist certain kind of sins, certain lifestyles, certain habits, and certain addiction, you've tried to come out of it, but you've not been able to come out of it. It's time to stand still and cry out for help, and God will be able to set you free. You've not been able to break the addiction, the lifestyle, the habits, something you know that God is not pleased with. You've tried to come up, but you've not been able to come out of it. Somebody's under the sound of my voice here. Your own case is unusual, overpowering depression. Always depressed, always depressed. You want to lift up yourself, you just can't lift up yourself. You've got the house, you've got the money, you've got the husband, you've got the certificate, but you just can't tell why you're depressed. Strange depression, strange oppression. Tonight there is liberty in the house of God. Somebody under the sound of my voice here, you've been having continuous thoughts of death. You've always been thinking about dying, always thinking about killing yourself, always thinking you will have accident on the road, always thinking your car will plunge out of the road, always thinking that the plane will crash. Always, there's always this fear of death. Somebody under the sound of my voice, every time you sleep in the night, always fellowshipping with dead bodies in the dream. I came to announce to you that you will not die but live, to declare the goodness of the Lord. If I prophesied on seven persons, their voice will be loud in the house of God. Somebody's under the sound of my voice. You have undiagnosable ailment. You are sick and dying, but they can't find it in the hospital. They have run all manner of tests on you. They've checked, done ECG. They've done all kinds of blood tests, but they can't find what is wrong with you. But you know you're dying. Tonight I came to announce to somebody who's got incurable disease. They told you it's not curable. HIV, hepatitis B, and whatever it is that they call it. I came to announce to you under this God tonight, that Jehovah Mephalti will show up on your behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. For someone under the sound of my voice, it's unusual battle with self-rejection. You've graduated, you're beautiful, but you are the only one that does not see it. Everybody looks at you and says, beautiful girl, you can see it. Everybody looks at you and says, you have a wonderful life, you are the only one that can see it. People wish that they can be like you, but you wish you can be like them. Battling with unusual self-rejection, unusual low self-esteem, I come in the name of Jesus Christ to decree and to declare to you that tonight is your night of liberty. This moment is your moment of deliverance. Somebody under the sound of my voice, constantly laboring and laboring in vain. You labor and labor and labor. At the end of it, you have nothing to show for it. Always having failure at the verge of success. I come to announce to you that Jehovah Mephalti is here to rescue you, to deliver you in the name of Jesus. Someone battling with sexual perversion. It's the case of masturbation. You are married, but you just can't break loose from masturbation. Married man, married woman, born again, tongue talking, speaking in tongues and seeing angels. But this one thing that is messing up your life, it has incarcerated you within the walls and the confines of your house. You seem to walk around the city, but you are the only one that knows that you carry a cage of imprisonment around you. The Bible says, whosoever the Son shall set free, it shall not be partially free. He shall be free indeed. From tonight, let me declare that this will be the night of total liberty. I said this will be your night of total liberty. In the name of Jesus the Christ, can I have a bigger amen in the house of God? Pornography is your own bondage. The devil has sent it into your life to keep you in bondage and keep you in captivity. Hello, my friend. It's not a weakness. If you try to stop it once, you've tried to stop it twice, and you've not been able to walk away from it. There's something that overpowers you and takes you there. Don't forget, deliverance is a supernatural act whereby powers, authority, controls, and influences that causes people to do what they don't want to do is destroyed. If you are doing what you don't want to do, you need deliverance tonight. If you are tasting what you don't want to taste, you need deliverance tonight. If you're going to where you don't need to go to, you need deliverance tonight. If you're sleeping with someone you don't need to sleep with, and you just can't stop sleeping with the person, stop calling it a weakness, stop giving it New Testament language, call it what it is. You need deliverance in the house of God. Somebody shout, deliver me, God. Yes, we need deliverance in the house of God. What are the causes of all those things? Disobedience is because it's not one thing for you. It's one thing for you to be set free from it. It's another thing to you, for you to stay free from it. In fact, the Bible says if you're delivered from something and you don't stay clean, you don't stay in the word of God, the Bible says the spirit that left you will come back. This time it will be worse than in the beginning. It came from the mouth of Jesus. Let me warn you, one of the gateways to bondage and captivity is disobedience. God is telling you go left and you're going right. God is telling tell you don't do this, you're doing that. Disobedience and sin, it causes demonic captivity, causes demonic bondage. Disregard for authority, you don't respect people in authority, it will bring you into bondage. You don't respect men of God, you don't respect your mother, you don't respect your father, you don't respect people in government, it will bring you into bondage. Number three is curses and spells. They bring people into bondage. Someone pronounced a curse on you. You walked with a lady, or you were in relationship with a girl, and she did so much for you, and eventually you treated her so badly, walked out of a relationship, and out of anger she said it will never be good for you. That is a very, very terrible thing. That curse has to be broken tonight. It may be the reason why somebody's not yet married. It may be the reason why you are still living in confusion, because the curse that wrong kept place on you is yet to be lifted. Somebody needs to deal with the spell here. Some of us get into bondage through cult, occultic involvement, and ritual involvement. You get involved with your friends who are lesbians and homosexuals, and they go into BDMs and all kinds of masochisms, and you know, they use all kinds of instruments and chains and piercings, and for those of you who are into piercings of the body, you better know what the Bible says about that. For those of you that write on your body, you call it tattooing, you better go and know what the Bible says about making writings and incisions on your body. You bring a curse on your life. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Don't call it fashion. It's the curse of the age. It's the power of darkness at work in the midst of the children of disobedience. You come to church with ankle chain. Is that where fashion is? What's wrong with you? Where did you get that from? Is that part of Mary Magdalene's dress up? What's wrong with you? Where did you get that from? Putting chains around your waist for what? You won't like me for this tonight, but I'll tell you, and you better go and ask, where did it come from? And if you are not where it comes from, if you are not what it was when it began, then don't put it on. Because if you put an ankle chain, I'm knowledgeable enough to know what that means. And those who put it on know what it means. Am I talking to somebody here? You can come to Zion with such a thing around your ankles and tell us that it's just part of fashion. You mean you've got the whole of your face and don't know where to put fashion? Night goes quiet here. Piercing your navel, piercing all kinds of stuff, and you know, piercing your nipples and putting rings on your nipples and all kinds of crazy, piercing your vagina, piercing all kinds of places in your body. And you say, I don't know why demons are after me, because you've got their property in your life. Have I lost some of you now? Come on, somebody shout, deliver us! Consulting with mediums and spiritual homes, and you go to mediums, you go to Ouija board, you want to know your future. If you want to know your future, come to the word Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the thought that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope that is settled. That's your future. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Go to Ouija board and you go to stargazers and spiritual mediums to show you your future. They bring water out and they consult with water, with pendulums in the water, and they tell you your future will be good. You go to palmistry, what they call astrologers, is that okay? They tell you to open your palms and they tell you that the lines upon your palm are aligned in such a way that your future will be great. And you come out of there relying on what they say, reading newspapers and saying, my star is Sagittarius, my star is Aries, my star is Uranus, my star is Sagittarius, my star is this, my star. And so you are reading newspapers to see what horoscope and what astrologers are saying about your life. You are bringing yourself under demonic influence. Keeping occultic instruments in your house. Strange rings. Somebody carried the ring, brought it out of oil, and told you, put it on, you will get a husband. Strange ring. Where did you get the ring from? Strange materials in your house that came from only God knows where. And you wonder why every night I'm having strange things happening. There are altars in your house. The Lord thy God walketh in the midst of your camp. God is about to deliver. He says, so shall your home be holy. Sexual uncleanness opens the door. You are not married and you are sleeping around. You are ruining your life. Bottom line, there's no better English than that. You're just ruining your life. You have been told already, everybody you sleep with, you take on their spirits. Sex is more than sexual organs meeting together. Sex is about transfer of spirits. If you don't like the spirit in a person, the problem is that you can never tell what kind of spirit a person is made up of. And don't forget this. Every man you sleep with, every woman you sleep with, you are connected with the spirit that flows in their lineage. You wonder why your life is confused? Because you slept with too many, you don't even know who you slept with. You are dealing with issues today, you don't even know where they are coming from. Somebody say, deliver me. The voice has gone down. Somebody shout, deliver me. Pornography. Do you know that every time you're watching pornography, demonic spirits are being transmitted into your body? Demons are transmitted. They are spirits. That is why you can be watching a rock concert and become possessed with the spirit at work at the concert. Hello, wait a minute. How is it that when you are watching Benny Hinn, you can be healed in your house? You got what I'm saying now? You watch a healing program on TV, and I was watching Benny, and the power of God came on me. Watching. What happened, sir? Spirit transmitted. The same thing, you can be watching pornography and demon spirits. And then you walk out of the place, you don't know why, something's telling me. And the next thing, because fire, demons are all over ravaging your body. The next, you will carry a child, 6-year-old baby, and defiler, pedophile. That's a demonic gateway. See, if I don't have time to pray for you tonight, you'll come tomorrow for deliverance. Is that okay? Because I know you want to go home in a hurry, so I'll release you. 10 a.m. tomorrow, we are praying here. Just carry yourself. Stop. Forget about pride. Are you listening to me? Pedophiles, and some of you here, slept with little babies or sleeping with somebody's baby that you're living with. Carry a child. Do you know what you're doing? You are opening yourself up to a curse. Incest. Sleeping with your daughter or daughter-in-law or sleeping with your own sister. Pastor, I don't know. My brother is so handsome. I just can't let him go. Cyber sex. Cyber sex. Go online to chat rooms. Go on chat. Oh, Jesus, help the church today. Go to chat rooms. And you're connected with women you don't know all over the world. Men you don't know all over the world. And boom, you go on Life Cam. And she's there completely naked for you. Showing you that and showing you this and showing that. And you're completely messed up. Don't forget, this demon's been transmitted. Amulets. Using amulets and beads that you don't know where they come from. Lesbianism. Romans chapter 1. Forget about what America is talking about. America is in a confused state. America needs you and I now. America has lost track. America has lost track. When the most richest are the ones funding a policy that they want to become universal. And they tell you that lesbianism is an alternative sex. What was the language for it, sir? Sexual preference. Sexual what, sir? Sexual orientation. Before you ever call it a preference, Paul told us what it was in Romans chapter 1. Before you were born, to tell us it's a sexual preference. Paul told us that the men living natural use of the body and the women living natural use of the body sleeping with one another. And the Bible says, who knowing the judgment of God, that those who do such things are worthy of death. And not only that, those who have pleasure. Those who enjoy, now these bad people, though. But make I pay, make I they watch. And soon as a woman, they sleep with women. I like this. Phone sex. Married but having sex with somebody on the phone. Talk to to you until you get to the point where you have orgasm. Talk to you until the point where you are wet as a man. You're opening yourself to demonic spirits. Blood covenant and soul ties. Promise me, we'll marry each other. We'll never leave each other. Promise me. Cut your finger, put your... this must be. And here you are. You've relocated from where the covenant took place, but the covenant is still at work. The reason you can't enjoy your marriage is because something has not yet been broken. Because the life of a man is in the blood. And you have drank the blood. Maybe Old Testament, old fashioned way of preaching. This is what sets the people of God free. It is well, everybody. And demons all over in the church wearing suit and tie, acting as ushers and protocol officers. Demonic people possessed with all kinds of spirits. Carrying titles as deacons in the house of God. Demonically infested people. As I go around the church of God, I'm ashamed of some of the things that are happening. And the truth is that some of us pastors are perplexed. We don't even know what to do anymore. So let's just maintain people until we all die and go to hell. The devil is a liar. Revival is coming to the body of Christ. And you, unusual association with cursed people. People are cursed and you're associating with them. Do you know what happened to the man called, Jonah? Walk away from God. Came under curse, because every time you function in disobedience, you walk under the blessing. You walk away from the place of obedience, you walk. See, it's a simple law. You don't need to be cursed. You can decide what you want. When you function in obedience, the blessing, walk away from obedience, there are only two realms where we walk. You are either walking under the blessing through obedience or walking under the curse through disobedience. He walked away from God and walked under the curse. Enter the sheep. Heading to Tarshish, innocent people. And the Bible said their ship almost sank until the man said, sorry, stop all these people are throwing away. I'm the reason. Because you entered into relationship with me, that's why your life has been messed up. You wonder why some of you, the moment you started a relationship with somebody, that's, your life just started turning upside down. Stop looking at face. Fine face doesn't make for a fine destiny. Hello, sir. I will not mention the name, but some of you know. There's a woman that my wife loves. I love her. She's a woman I respect so very much. This woman, under the right covering, she respected the man of God. She honored so very much as a senior man. And she humbled herself under him before she got married. When she was about to get married, you know something? The Bible says about love. Who can understand the way of a maid with a man? It is like the path of a serpent on a rock. I keep telling my pastors, when my pastors were all getting married, what did I say to you all, sir? I say, I trust all of you. I say, from marriage, I will bring down the trust to zero. You will have to reprove it again. Because people are not the way they are until after they get married. So don't say somebody is your permanent friend until marriage comes. And give years to determine whether indeed it is a stable covenant. Marriage can make a woman who understands humility and service. Marriage can make that woman come and say, so you're the one there that is serving like that in that place. That's a spirit of pride influencing them. And don't you know it who you are called? I am your wife. I sense the grace of God on your life. If you two start your own, things will work. As though the calling of a man is predicated on the platform of a woman. And foolish men sometimes will step out like that because his wife told him. And God has not told him anything. And that's how many wreck their lives. This woman of God, doing so very well. She got to meet with this guy, and guess what, sir? Her covering, the man of God that she respects. Am I helping you tonight? No, talk to me. If I'm boring you, I'll just run. This man of God looked at her and said, sorry, my sister. I feel differently. Because of that, she cut off her spiritual connection with her pastor. Broke from the moment she got into the life of this guy, broke away. And you know one thing about men of God who are very sensitive? We don't contend. Let her go. You are here as a pastor for the rise and the fall of many. Is what it is. He allowed her. She went to do her wedding. It was a televised wedding around the world. People buy the DVD of her wedding. It was televised. It hurts me to my heart. If you see the packaging of that wedding, beauty, glamour was there that day. Perhaps maybe not God. Everybody that matters was there. The only person that was absent was her father, covering. 1 year into the marriage, they publish a book. Wouldn't you say their marriage is progressive? Before you know, they started a television program. They call it something court, marriage court. And that's how they started. And before you know, things began to happen. Listen to this. Before you, what they were trying to say to the pastor is that, can't you see, what you say is not meant of God. See, we are making progress. There's a path that seemeth right unto a man. It is not the beginning, sir, the end thereof. How fast you are running is not an issue. Whether you will hit the breasting of the tape is what matters. And men who are sensitive don't look at how fast you can start. Sensitive men consider, can you finish this journey with the kind of person you are hanging out with? Long and short of it, you all know what it is today. The man better, it's on YouTube. The man bet this woman, they fought, it became an open disgrace in the court. Just like the marriage was televised everywhere, even so the court, the disgrace, the beating is also televised globally. Her ministry collapsed. My pastor in Atlanta told me that he went to our church recently. Guess how many people he found there? 60. A woman that was compelling crowds from all over the United States. 60 people in our church. 60. She was humble enough to go back to her pastor globally again before everybody. And she knelt down before him. And she said, sir. She said, all those times they were doing all those razzmatazz, trying to make people feel that they were doing well. That the truth was that everything was already failing. That we're just trying to make up, to make sure that they defend the glory that has left. She came before everybody and said, I'm back to my father. But you see, the point is that he can't put her on the platform again. She is young, but already she's dying. Because we watch her fizzle out so fast. It's such a painful thing. Beware who you hang out with. Don't hang out with a cursed person, otherwise your destiny will be finished. Jehovah Mephalti will set you free. If you have made mistake before, he will deliver you. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 7, it said, in my distress, I cried, I called upon the Lord. I cried to my God and he heard my voice. Verse 17, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out. Somebody say, draw me out. You are not hearing. Somebody say, draw me out. Whatever it is that you have gone into, whatever it is that you've been locked into, I come in the name of the Son of God. I'm praying now. I come in the name of the Son of a living God. Jehovah Mephati will draw you out of it. You are coming out of it. Every bondage is over tonight. Every yoke is destroyed tonight. Every limitation is destroyed tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I destroy the powers that hold you in bondage. I destroy the curse that holds you in bondage. I destroy the limitation that holds you in bondage. It is destroyed in the name of Jesus. Covenants are destroyed tonight. Blood covenants destroyed. Blood covenants destroyed. Vows destroyed. Yokes destroyed. As I'm speaking, it has been destroyed. Wherever you are, whatever is the foundation for your captivity, I destroy the foundation. I destroy the foundation. Whatever your parents have done to bring you into bondage, I destroy it tonight. I destroy it tonight. I destroy it tonight. I break the chains that holds you down. I destroy the chains that holds you down. You are free in the name of Jesus. Free from every bondage. Free from every limitation. Free from every bondage. Free from every limitation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to help me
go to the children's church. And I want you to lay hands and minister to our kids, all of them. Go minister to all of them. Now listen to me. I'm going to give you an opportunity. We don't do this all the time. For those of you that I'm praying for, please kindly stand to your feet quickly. It's a serious time now. If you want us to minister to you specially, we can pray for everybody tonight. But if you want us to minister to you specially tonight, I want you to go to the information desk immediately after the service, because tomorrow is going to be specifically based on those whose names are on the list. You can't just walk in here tomorrow and think that we'll have time. We need to know how many people we're ministering to tomorrow. You know this. As I was speaking, you know I mentioned some things. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You just laid something on my heart. I'm going to cover all of you that I'll be ministering to tomorrow. I'm going to cover you with the blood right now. When I was speaking, you know that I mentioned things that have brought you into captivity. See, I'm raw. I'm straight. And please, if I'm not talking to you, don't bother coming. You know, as I was speaking, I didn't just put English together. It was in the place of prayer that I put all of this down as it was revealed to me. Everything I mentioned here came in the place of prayer. You know, while I was speaking, I hit it on your heart. It connected with you that is it. That's where this whole thing came from. Or you know very strongly you've been dealing with one form of captivity or the other, and you've been trying to get out of it. You've not been able to get out of it. And we're going to be praying together. Please quickly come. I want to pray with you. We're going to declare you covered by the Spirit of the Lord. Just walk away quickly from your sin.